My name is Garland Robinson. One of the most dreaded diseases in the world today, especially in America, is heart disease. It's a most dreaded disease also in the Lord's church, too, but not the physical kind. Here we're talking about a spiritual heart disease. You remember what it said in Acts chapter 8 and verse 21 to a man whose name was Simon, when the announcement was made, "Thy heart is not right in the sight of God." You know, a lot of people think that their heart is okay if it's full of love. But you know, it has to be the right kind of love. It's not a love for self, a love for the world, a love for greed, but a love toward God. That is what is approved with God. You remember how God even said in Romans 1 and verse 26, there were some whom He had given up to vile affections. That is, their love, their devotion was not to Him, but to wickedness and evil. They had the wrong kind of love. That love caused God to send them away, to reject them. So having a heart full of love doesn't necessarily make you right with God. The wrong kind of love condemns us just as quickly as having no love at all. The affections must be placed on the right things. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." That means evil affections must be put to death along with all the other wrong kinds. Friends, so now ask yourself this question. Do you have a heart full of love? And is it for the wrong things? Well, it is something that we need to examine ourselves and see exactly where we stand. Because some people have a heart full of love, but it's for darkness. It's for wickedness and evil. You know, ignorance floods the hearts of multitudes where spiritual light is never allowed to come in. We read in John 3 and verse 19 and 20 where Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Wicked and evil men love the cloak of darkness where there's no exposure of their sordid behavior. Paul knew the damaging effect of that kind of wickedness when instead he said we need to replace it with spiritual truth. He said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid in them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine upon them." But Paul then showed the glorious transformation that can be effected by coming to the light. "For God, who committed the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Do you have a heart full of love, and is it for the wrong things? The heart full of love for darkness in this life will lead to outer darkness in the life to come. This led to the warning, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them," Ephesians 5 and verse 11. There's to be a separation from darkness when we come to the light. Jesus said, "I am the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life," John 8 and verse 12. And then there are people that have a heart full of love, but it's for the world. You know, there's a great majority in this land today that are infatuated with the affairs of life, with the affairs of this world. They're so taken with the temporal things that no place is reserved for the spiritual things, the heavenly, the eternal things. Their hearts are full of love, but it's for the wrong thing. It's for the world. That'll never win God's approval. You remember James 4, verse 4? "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." No man can follow Christ with that kind of love, the love of the world. And that is so stated about Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." People who love this world cannot love the Lord and stand in His approval. And then 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 tell us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, The love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Friend, don't have a heart full of love for the world. And then don't have a heart full of love for popularity. Oh, how many lives have been offered on the altars of popularity? Young people have sacrificed their future happiness in vain attempts to be popular with the crowd. That is a great evil, but it's also known in the church, and it ought not to be. You know, in order to be popular with the crowd, the gospel has been watered down by preachers who want diplomacy. They want tact instead of faithfulness and truthfulness with God. One great preacher asked, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For yet if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Galatians 1 and verse 10. So Paul shows the difference there. It's easy to play to the grandstand rather than really serving God. Jesus warned, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Their hearts are full of love, but for the wrong things. It was for popularity. You know, it's good to have the approval of men, but it's much more important to have the approval of God. We read of some that Jesus talked about in John 12 and verse 42 and 43. When he said, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." It's true, even yet, some love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And rather than asking what is the right thing to do, they ask, "How will this affect my standing? How will I be viewed by those around me?" What a terrible thought it is to have some people say they've got a heart full of love, but it's for the world. There are some who have a heart full of love, but it's for preeminence. And there was once an elder's wife that stated that her husband was the president of the board of elders. Well, well, to her that was a great honor, I guess. A position not to be ignored. That was something of prestige with her. But Jesus derided the scribes and Pharisees who loved the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, "Rabbi, Rabbi." He told his disciples in Matthew 23, verses 6 to 8, "Be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." He also stated in Matthew 20 and verse 26 and 7, "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." The Apostle John had to write and correct a bad situation when we read in 3 John verse 9 and 10, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." The church is still plagued with big shots like that. People who think they are somewhat, people who think they are somebody, and that they're more important and they're bigger than everybody else. The Bible refers to them as a Diotrephes. Then there are people who have a heart full of love, but it's for pleasure. I cannot imagine this generation being any less behind anyone before it, perhaps even more so, full of pleasure. The round-the-clock entertainment that we see on television, in videos. There's game shows and giveaway contests and soap operas and sports coverage and sex-oriented talk shows and you name it, on and on. Pleasure is the word of the day. All those worldly things that simply obliterate the spiritual benefit, the spiritual interest in heavenly things. There was once, a number of years ago, a rock group that voiced the claim, "We're more popular than even Jesus Christ." Well, popular with whom? The Bible very clearly, very plainly tells us, the broad and wide gate, many there be, which go in thereat. The Lord's way, the straight and narrow way, has always been a very narrow thing that so many people, they can't. It's not that they can't find it, but they do not put forth the effort to find it. They love pleasure more than they love God. It's not that their hearts would be devoid of love, because men love the wrong thing. People love, but it's the wrong thing. We need to be interested in loving righteousness and goodness. Then there are those who love money. Oh, their heart is full of love, but it's for money. Materialism, financial gain. But yet we're warned in the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Jesus warned against that kind of desire for wealth. Luke 12:15, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Paul instructed Timothy to pass on that warning, do not trust in uncertain riches. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. So truly the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and that men so much love it. What men have done, and they will do, it's for money, and they fail to see where it will lead them. Lot pitched his tent toward that wicked city of Sodom because of money, and he reaped the ruin for it. It led Achan to shame and dishonor and resulted in the destruction of himself and his family. It brought Naaman's leprosy down upon Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. It caused the rich man to turn from Christ and reject salvation. It caused Judas to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And on and on and on, because men love money more than they love the Lord. And then there are those who have love for self. They are eat up with themselves so much. You know, how often is it said that a man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package? Yet often we find those who love self more than anything else in the world. Well, we read in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Lovers of self will never do the will of the Lord. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's what we read in Romans 12 and verse 3. We must rise above love of self if we are going to serve the Lord. Friend, your heart must be filled with love, but not of this world, not of preeminence, not of money, not of popularity, not of self, but of the Lord. Fill your heart with the love of the Lord, with His way, with His word. That's the only way you can be pleasing unto God.